Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Now we hope you'll open your Bible and join us as Glenn Colley brings us a lesson from God's Word.
The beautiful botanical gardens here in Huntsville. And I pulled into the parking lot, and there was a Corvette convertible, and it was blue. I don't know who it belonged to, but it was about a 65 model. Matt, I don't know the difference between 62, 3, 4, 5, right? But it looked like a 65 to me. And it was immaculate. The top was down. It was parked underneath a tree there. And it was like walking back in time. And obviously, what this man had done is to restore that car to just as it was in the 1960s. I happened to have been living in the 1960s. And, well, not for very long had I been, but I remember in elementary school, the boys would dream about a Corvette. And we would say, yes, but a Corvette costs $6,000. And we would all gasp at the price of one. Sometimes people look at the Church of Christ and they say, you know, you're different. And we are. I mean, we are. I love the Church of Christ. I can tell you right now, I'm going to be a member of the Church of Christ for the rest of my life. I love it. I love it because of the differences. And you could say, well, you know, it's different because you don't have a piano. And of course, I know that's strange to people who visit our assemblies because they're not accustomed to that. That's different. And you believe that you have to be baptized for the remission of sins, that baptism is essential to be saved. And that's right, we do, and that's what we preach. But you know what? You could sum up the entirety of what makes the Church of Christ different today from other faiths with one word: restoration. And see, there's a difference in how you fix up old cars. So you can restore that thing like that 65 Vet was. What a car yesterday. Or you could reform it, right? I mean, and a lot of people do that with old cars. I've seen fine old antique cars where people have pulled out all the running train and replaced it with present day running train, a new engine and a new transmission and a rear end and all. And when you look inside, it has a steering wheel that came out of a 1998 Cadillac. And it has a gear shift from a Cadillac. And they've reformed that old car. It's not the way I like it. I like the restoration. I like when they go back and it's just like it was and it just takes you back in time. This illustrates how people approach religion today. Will we restore the Christianity of the New Testament, or will we reform it? I love the Church of Christ because what we're about is restoring. It's a biblical principle, you know. In Colossians 3 and 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Or 2 John 9, whoso transgresseth and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. It's about restoration. It's about the principle of going back. I'm going to tell you something else too. When it comes time for me to die, I don't want you to bring some reformed religious creed of men to read to me. You bring me the ancient book. You bring me the old book. That's where the comfort is. I want to get back to God, right? What I want to do tonight is to narrow down one specific concept pertaining to restoration. And it has to do with church organization. I'm going to bring this sermon because in the last month or so, I've been asked or confronted with a couple of different concepts about church organization. By organization, I mean how we set up leadership and what kinds of leaders we have and how it's broken down and so forth. The organization of the church. And one question was this, from a very humble Christian man, member of the church. He's in California, as a matter of fact. He said, Glenn, in the church where I'm a member, our eldership dissolved. I don't remember the details. Maybe died, resigned, whatever. But the eldership dissolved. And he said, so our deacons have just started being the ones who make the decisions for the church. We sort of have a board of deacons, and they're the ones who take that role. But he said, I'm uncomfortable with it. What about this? Interesting question. I heard a man espouse this idea. Second, he said, you know, in a lot of our congregations, we don't have men qualified to be elders. And so he said, I have an alternate plan. What if we set up a men's leadership committee? And they're the ones who govern the church. They'll be the ones who will make the decisions about the church, since we don't have men who are qualified to be elders. He said, let's do that instead of having men's business meetings. What about that? Would it be okay to have a group of men who function as elders, but who don't meet the qualifications of elders? Let's talk about church organization. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there are three ways in the Bible, the New Testament, that the church is spoken of. Number one is the universal sense. The universal sense. So in Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church. Now that's worldwide. It is His church. And of course in Ephesians chapter 5 and 25, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. In Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, God has given Christ to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And Ephesians 4:4 says there's one body, it's His church. And that's speaking of the church in the universal sense. Now in the New Testament, there is no organization set up for the church in the universal sense. There is no, Christ is the head of it, of course. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23 says that God's given Christ to be the head over all the church. But so far as any human organization, there is none in the New Testament for the church in the worldwide sense, the universal sense. Second, sometimes the church is spoken of in the New Testament in the assembled sense. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 14, and I'll show you what I mean. Bear in mind that the word church, in its generic sense, just means group of people. And sometimes Christians meet together. There's going to be a Diana singing. James, when's the Diana singing? Is this Friday and Saturday in Diana, Tennessee, which is right beside Pulaski? Great singing. Oh, wonderful singing. And you're going to have Christians assembled there from many different congregations around the country. Some people come a long distance for that singing. Now, you could legitimately look at that assembled group of worshiping Christians and reference it as a church of people, because generically speaking, the word church just means group of people. And so, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you have the word church used in the sense of an assembly. Here's verse 19. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding than by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Drop down to 24. 28. Let's look at 28. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. What does he mean? In that assembly, in the assembled sense. And let him speak to himself and to God. Drop down to 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it's not permitted unto them to speak. He's talking about in the assembly sense. Now, there is no organization described, per se, in the New Testament for the church in its assembly sense. But now here's the third way that the church is spoken of. It is in the congregational or local sense. Here's what I mean. Romans chapter 16 and verse 16. The churches of Christ salute you. Churches, plural, that's right. Because talking about churches or congregations of the church of Christ in a given area. The churches of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, Paul writes, and he begins that letter and he says that he's writing to the church of God, which is at Corinth. What's that? It's that congregation of the church of Christ that exists in that city. Here is the church in the congregational sense. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, Bible says that they ordained elders in every church. Now that's not the universal sense of the church. That's not the assembled sense. That is the congregational sense, the local church, local congregational sense of the church. Now, it is in reference to this last one that you find an organization described in the New Testament. All right? This is where you find how the church is to be set up with a human leadership under, of course, the auspices, the leadership of Christ Jesus. Now, major point number two of the sermon. I have just two major points tonight. There's the first one. Here's the second one. There are four possible states of this church in reference to organization. Four possibilities. The first one is that a church may be scripturally organized. Scripturally organized. Now, the implication, of course, from the get-go here is that the Bible does give us a pattern, a set-out organization for how the church should be organized. So there is scriptural organization. Let's go through some scriptures together about this. For example, in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul writes and says that he's writing to the saints and to the bishops or elders and deacons at Philippi. And here's a description of offices. They had elders and they had deacons. In Acts chapter 20, why don't you turn over there with me? Acts the 20th chapter. And let's start in verse 17. Acts chapter 20 and verse 17. And Paul assembles together the elders at Miletus. Now the Greek word there for elders is presbyteros, the presbyters. All right? Now, drop down in that passage with me to verse 28. And he says this to those elders of the church: "Take heed to yourselves and unto all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." A couple of things. First place, these elders, presbyteros of the church, are to be over the flock. That's why the ones in the organization of the church biblically who wear the name pastor are the elders of the church, not the preacher, unless he happens to also be an elder. A pastor is one who is over a flock. That's what the word pastor means. And this, in Acts chapter 20 and 28, referring to the elders, says, "I want you to take care of the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you elders, overseers." Now, the Greek word for overseers there is episkopos. And episkopos means a superintendent, one charged with the responsibility of making sure that that which is done rightly. All right? Overseers. Elders, pastors, overseers. And incidentally, this episkopos word is often translated bishop or bishops. So here we have synonymous terms in the sense that they describe the same office, the elders of the church. In Acts 14 and 23, the Bible says they ordained elders in every church. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 5, he said, "I sent you to Crete that you might..." Now this is very interesting to me. This is going to be important as we get through the lesson. "I sent you to Crete that you might set in order the things which are wanting and ordain elders in every city." Now, the idea, of course, is they had one congregation of the Lord's people in each city, so it means the same thing. Every church is to have her own elders. You get to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and you see the qualifications of these men who would be elders. And it's rather specific. And you also have in that chapter the qualifications for the deacons, or special, there's a special office for servants. All of us are deacons as Christians in the general sense. But he set aside some specific official servants and referred to them as deacons. And the qualifications for people, men who would be deacons, are also found in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And then, of course, we have evangelists. We have teachers. We no longer have apostles because the need for apostles has ceased, as have the miraculous gifts. In 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, Peter writes, "The elders which are among you I exhort." He said, "I am also an elder." He said, "I am a witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Okay, he's talking to elders. He says, "Take care of the flock of God which is among you." Now, that's interesting, just a side note. See, elders at West Huntsville aren't responsible for the flock in other places. He says, "I want you to care for the flock which is among you," this congregation. He said, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, not because you have to do it, but because you made the people make you do it, coerce you to do it, not, but of a ready mind. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples for the flock. Don't do it for filthy lucre, but do it of a ready mind. And when the Lord Jesus, the chief shepherd, shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. All right, here we go. Your scriptural organization. Again, Philippians 1:1. He says, I'm writing to you, saints, at Philippi, to this church, with your bishops and your deacons. And here's scriptural organization of the church according to the qualifications of 1 Timothy 3. A congregation that has shepherds in the church. Shepherds, presbyteros, episkopos. They are pastors, they are bishops, they are elders, they are shepherds. That's what he's describing here. They're over the flock. Deacons in the church, special servants in the office of deacons, special servants, and evangelists who preach and teach, and you have teachers and etc., Christians. And here's the organization of the church. All right, so point number one is a church may be scripturally organized. But now here's the second possibility. A church may be scripturally unorganized. Here's what I mean by this. Is that a church of Christ can be begun anywhere by any Christians. This is a wonderful concept. You know, if you decide that you're going to move to some remote area in Alaska and there's no congregation of the Lord's church there, you can start a congregation there. Huh? How hard would it be? Well, you start meeting in your home. Worship in your home. Invite your neighbors to come. Well, whose permission would you have to get? Nobody's permission. You've got permission already from the Lord. Start a congregation of the Lord's people. And you can do that. And that's the church of Christ. But you say, well, yeah, but we don't have men who are qualified to be elders in the church. That's right. Not yet. You're still the church. In Acts 14 and 23, you know, they were told to ordain elders in every church. What's that? It was already the church. It was the church before they had elders, you know. And by, of course, what you'd want to do is have elders when you had men who were qualified for elders, and then you'd have deacons when you had men who were qualified, and then you'd be completely, fully organized. But until that time, you would be scripturally unorganized. You would hunger for the time when you could get it all right. But until that time, you do the best you can. You're scripturally unorganized. But now here's number three. Unscripturally unorganized. How does this work? Well, so, you know what? I went to Alaska and I started this congregation of the Church of Christ. And you know, that's been 20 years ago. And, you know, I've been the leader of this church all this time. Okay, so we've got men who are qualified to be elders, but I'm not qualified to be one. I don't even have any children. I'm not qualified. And so the fact is, if we ordain these men to be elders, what happens to me? Oh, I've been the one who's... I'm the one who started this congregation. 20 years ago, I started this congregation. I've had this leadership role ever since it began. Oh, well, we ordain elders, and they won't need me to be the leader anymore. In fact, I'll be under them. Nothing doing. I'm not going to do it. Right? What happens then? What do you call that? You call that unscripturally unorganized. You're not organized fully, and it's because you choose to not be organized the way the Bible says. We must never choose for it to be that way. And it's just not right for congregations to go 10, 20, 30 years and they never develop elders. Now, I'm going to tell you something. In the West Huntsville Church, if I can just brag a little bit, what we're doing is raising up song leaders. You heard one tonight, didn't you? Were you proud of him or what? We're raising up children who know the Bible, but I'll tell you something else. We're raising up elders, too. We're planning right now, for example, a men's retreat, another one coming up in the fall. I can't wait. You know what we're going to do? We're going to have a leadership retreat for men, because the elders who now serve in this church are interested in replacing themselves by and by. And you can't just do that overnight. You've got to plan for that. You've got to prepare men for that role, right? You've got to get them ready and prepare them for that. And that's what we intend to do. Why is that? Because we want to continue being fully and scripturally organized. A church may say, we don't have elders, but frankly, we like it this way. Who told you you could choose that? Who told you you could make that decision? The church doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. And we better work to be scripturally organized. Now, here's the fourth one. The fourth possibility with reference to the organization of the church is that we may be unscripturally organized. Unscripturally organized would be the situation in which we just frankly don't like the organization which the Lord has set out in His Word, and so we can work out our own. We think that we can do better. So we have a national or world leader for the church. We'll call him a pope, or we'll call him a president. No scriptural authority for that. You know, Jesus has His way. The Lord, incidentally, you remember who it was who died for the church? He owns it because He died for it. It's His. And so He said, here's how I want you to do it. I don't like that. I think if we had a world leader for the church universally, that'd be better. Or what if we decided that we have elders at the West Huntsville Church? What we think would be good if the elders here would be shepherds not just of this congregation, but what if we were shepherds over lots of congregations throughout this region, this part of Alabama? And we could just, I tell you what we could do, we could call those elders bishops. And they would be over the underling elders in each congregation, but the bishops would be kind of the big elders. And then we'd have smaller elders. You good with that? What's wrong with that? It's unscriptural. And the Lord, don't you hear the Lord saying, that's not my way? See, I set out the way. I set out how I wanted the church to be organized. And so it's up to you. You know, you can take and restore that church and do it my way, or you can choose to do it your way. The other ways this can be done, you know, here's a church that says, we like the pastor system. In the pastor system, you have one elder over a congregation instead of a plurality like the Bible always teaches. You just have one. He's the preacher and he's the boss of the church. Now, he's the one. He's the pastor. Now, he may or may not, depending on the congregation, have to meet the qualifications for an elder in 1 Timothy 3, but he's called a pastor anyway. And he is the single head of that congregation. What's wrong with that? It's not scriptural. It would be unscripturally organized. Or what about this one? And this time, you know, this is happening in the churches of Christ sometimes, where we decide that the qualifications are either unreasonable or irrelevant, and so we ordain men to be elders who don't meet the qualifications of 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to tell you something. When we took that step, if we took that step, we would be unscripturally organized because that's not according to the pattern. Those qualifications are there for a reason. They don't require perfection, but they do require a man who has specific credentials, specific characteristics before he could scripturally be ordained as an elder. We may choose to push him aside, but I'm going to tell you something. A church will always suffer when ordaining men who aren't qualified. I mean, it may take a few years, but it'll always come back and bite you. It'll always come back and hurt you because you did it not according to the pattern. Here's the point of the sermon. You say, you know, you people in the Church of Christ are different. I know. And, you know, and I hope that people will let me sit down with them and let me tell you about the differences, but I can tell you, here's where we're going to start as we have this discussion, because if you don't get this, you don't really... It's not just that we like to be weird or strange or that we want to be contrary. That's not it at all. We start with this biblical principle that says we need to get back to the book and not reform the church of our Lord, but restore it. Let's go back. What will that make us if we just go back? I mean to say, what kind of Christian will you be? I mean to say, what kind of church will it be if we just go back and restore the church of the New Testament? And the answer is, we'll be Christians. What kind of Christians? Just Christians. What kind of church will it be? Well, it'll be the church that you read about in the New Testament. That's all it'll be. What do you call it? Well, you know it. In the New Testament, it's called a number of things, one of which is the Church of Christ. It's the Church of God. It's the Church. It's the body of Christ. That's what it is. It's the Church of which Jesus was speaking when He said, on this rock, I will build my church. And ladies and gentlemen, I vow before God, I will never leave her. I will be a member of that church the rest of my life. Why in the world, when we have the New Testament, would we ever, ever settle for anything short of that? Maybe there's somebody here tonight who wants to be a member of that church. Well, you know, I suppose in various different faiths, there are various different ways that people join the faiths, become members of the faiths. What if you go back to the New Testament? You see, if you want to be a member of the church that you read about there, why, that plan is laid out also for us. And I know in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47 that the people, it says, were added to the church. If you want to be added to the church, you're going to need to do what they did. The Bible says in verse 38 of Acts 2, they repented of their sins and they were baptized for the remission of their sins. Would you like to be a part of the church you read about in the New Testament? Then you need to repent of your sins and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. We'll do that tonight if you'd like. If there's someone here who is a member of the church, but you've become unfaithful and tonight you want to be restored, you need the prayers of the Christians, we'd be happy to assist you in that. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. If you'd like to respond, come as we stand and sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730. If you would like to contact the speaker, he can be reached at collie@westhuntsville.org. That's C-O-L-L-E-Y @westhuntsville.org.